Amen. Praise you, Lord. Glorify you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the times that we're in. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in us and around us and on us and all around us. Golly, it's just amazing the love that you're pouring out upon your true people of God. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for separating the evil ones from us and keeping the elect and glorifying them, Lord. And we thank you for it. Draw us all closer to you, Father, in a way that we would understand and be able to hear your voice at all times. I pray that in the name of Jesus for everybody here, Lord, that we'd be able to hear your voice when it's when you call us, Lord, and we thank you for that. Give us discernment and wisdom, Lord. And thank you, Father, for the gifts that you've given us, that they're all available whenever they're going to be needed. And we praise you, Father, we'll just step right into it when it's time. And I thank you for that, Lord. It's a great and wonderful time that you've got us coming into. Lord, prepare our hearts to get rid of the flesh, the distractions, everything that's hindering anything that would keep us from you, Lord. And I praise you and I thank you for that, Father. And I praise you, Lord, that even when we're doing the menial tasks that we have to do daily, that we still have our minds and our spirit with you, Lord. And I praise you and glorify you for that, Lord. We bind up all the attacks of the enemy that may try to hinder anyone from coming on here tonight and listening and participating in this fellowship. And we praise you, Father, for keeping us clean tonight. In Jesus' name, nobody will have any problems staying on tonight in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for your anointing upon the testimonies and also upon those that have to share, that would like to share a word or a song or whatever. And we just praise you, Father, for that anointing. And we thank you, Lord, that it's going to be an awesome time with you tonight in Jesus' name. And I ask that you bless everybody here with true focus upon your word, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Has anybody got a testimony or a praise report or a prayer request? I'm going to pray. Y'all believe with me. Lord, I thank you for Katie. I thank you, Father, for her word that she has, that the Lord, that you gave her. And I praise you, Father, that you give her, put her at ease, that when she tells this testimony, Lord, she'll be completely at ease because you're guiding her and giving her the words to say that would affect everybody. And I praise you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that when she comes on tonight, she will be blessed. She'll not only be blessed, Lord, your spirit would guide and lead her into the things that you want her to talk about. And that's the things that you've already talked to her about. And we praise you for it, Father. We glorify you. We thank you, Father, for all that's going to be done tonight, the changes that will be made in people's lives because of whatever goes on tonight. And I praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. All right. Anybody else? Yes, Anna.
I just want to share a little praise report. Late this afternoon, we realized Shoshana was fevering and she was super fussy. So at dinner, I put her in her high chair and put all this different food in front of her and she was just picking at it. She wasn't really eating and she was just fussing and fussing. And Matthew rebuked the fever and just commanded it to go. And after just a couple of minutes, you know, I'm busy, you know, helping the kids get their food and everything. We look over there and she had cleared her tray of all the food. And I looked and she hadn't dropped it on the floor, which is also another praise. Thank you, Lord. And she likes to just pretend that she ate it by throwing it down the crack. But anyways, she had eaten it all. and was just all of a sudden just in a really happy mood. She was smiling and talking and laughing with the boys. And I gave her some more food and she ate it all. And then after dinner, she was asking for more food. And so praise God, it was like, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes. Thank you, Lord. You're muted, Michael.
I knew that. I was just thanking the Lord for daddies who love the Lord and can pray and believe, and that the people in the family would get healed. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you for changing Matthew too. We praise you for that. Amen. Anybody else? For the first time last night, Shoshana walked with me for ways. She wouldn't before because she's whatever. She wouldn't do it. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share? Yeah, Joe.
Well, I'd like to walk through if you agree with me, please. A couple of months ago, I did pray for my family. Well, I did visit each of them, but I haven't visited my oldest brother. And the Lord put in my heart to visit him. Well, I'm going to make an appointment today to see him. It's been quite a while since we talked. It's not really something between us, but it's not clear. He's gone through a lot. He's got bone marrow cancer. He's gone through the Lord taking prevent. His son was shot before him and in front of him, and it's quite a thing he's gone through in his life. So, but he's not real. He's not born again yet. He's a Christian, but he's not born again yet. So I just want a prayer of agreement for a clear communication when I make appointment with him, just visiting and talking about the Lord, just to open up his heart and understanding. He's 73, I'm 74, I think. Just want to pray for that, please, Michael.
Okay. What's his name?
Louis.
Louis.
Yeah.
Okay. Lord, we lift up Louis to you, Joe's boy. And we thank you, Father, for this visit. We thank you, Father. This will be a turning point in Louis's life as Joe goes over there. Lord, I ask for your guidance for Joe, that you would guide him every step of the way. And Lord, guide his tongue to speak the things that you want. And I praise you for that, Lord. Now, in the name of Jesus, right now, I break the power of Satan off of Lewis right now, Louis, right now, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for granting repentance to him, that when the time comes, Joe goes over there, that he will receive. And I praise you for that, Father. But Lord, I'm asking you to give Joe lots of patience and giving him the exact words that you would have him speak to Louis to bring him in. And I thank you for it, Father. And I praise you that this is going to be a great testimony next time we come together with Joe. And I thank you for it, Father. Louis, come into the kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
I
Michael.
believe it. I believe it.
Amen.
Anybody else
Amen.
believe it? Thank you, Lord, for bringing Louis in. Glory to God. Amen. Well, you've got a bunch of people agreeing with you, so it's going to happen. All right. Anybody else? Well, Katie sent me today a great, there she is, a great test, a wonderful test. I mean, just, it's a wonderful test. Oh, there she is. Don't let your head get too big now, Katie. Anyway, it's a wonderful testimony, and I'm going to allow her to give it tonight, and I'd like for her to, let's pray for her, just peace on her, and Lord, let her do it slowly and get it all out. Because I know it's going to help a lot of people. And I praise you for that, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that the first questions for her, that she'll have the answers in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hi, Katie.
Hey.
Hey, it's good to see you again. Well, all right, girl. Just tell us what's going on.
Okay, so I'm going to read it since there's so much and I don't want to leave anything out. So the Lord has been really elaborating lately on my role as a woman and specifically as a wife, especially ever since going through everything with Tim. Like, that's when the Lord really started showing me my role. And still, even when he was struggling, even when he was being disobedient, that I still had to be obedient and that there's so much power through that. So the Lord has just been going deeper and deeper and deeper since that all started. And on Sunday, I was with Tim and we were at the service at the place that he's at. And, you know, it's one of those places that they're really powerful and like you can see the Holy Spirit at work, but they allow women to get up there and preach. Like, they're not labeled as pastors or anything, but like they're still up there preaching and, you know, in my opinion, overstepping their role. And I was praying on this because I see it everywhere. Like, almost every church I can find that believes in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, at least, it seems like they all believe in putting women up on a stage and having them preach and overstep. So I was really praying on this. And on Sunday, they had some women go up there and they participate in Advent. So like a few people will go up and preach like for 15 minutes and they had some women doing that. And then like this thought just came to me of, well, how would I feel if I was up there? And immediately I thought I would feel naked, like not shy, not nervous, not like anything else, but a very specific feeling of feeling naked. And before I could even think further on this, then the Lord goes, exactly, because your husband is your covering. And I was like, whoa, that's beautiful. And then he was just going deeper on that. And it's hard for me to put it in words because it wasn't in words after that point. It was just like a further elaboration of how I'm to be hidden in my husband and going up and preaching would be stepping outside of that covering. And he showed me further about the beauty of submitting to and honoring my husband and about a meek and quiet spirit and being in all subjection and submitting. And it was really, really beautiful. Like I was in tears almost. And I told Tim about it afterwards and we both were just rejoicing because the Lord has been really, for both of us, expanding deeper on both of our roles. And so after this, I was thinking even more on it because, like I said, I've seen so many churches that believe in this and I'm like, Lord, why is this everywhere? Like, what is this? And also, why does it appear that there's fruit from it sometimes? Like, you know, some people are like, oh, such and such, like some woman pastor really did this and this for me and whatever. And I got this from their teachings and all of that. So I was so confused because I knew it's wrong, but I'm like, well, why is it looking like there's fruit coming from it? And why are these women appearing to be used by the Lord? And I'm just confused. So I was praying on all of this. And then the Lord started speaking to me clearly and he gave me a long word. And so I'll read it. And he goes, they're doing it to honor themselves. If they were doing it to honor me, they would be obedient to my word. Women being quiet and in all subjection honors me much more than any words they can preach. Remember, my word goes against the flesh. Women's flesh feels in bondage when they obey and submit to this area of my word, and they are being deceived greatly by their flesh. They are wrongfully trying to break free, and this is rebellion. This is self-will and self-seeking. Take heed that you do not fall into the world's trap of feminist liberation that has crept into my church through the enemy. That is liberation of the flesh and spiritual bondage. I desire you to be free, and that freedom is found only in obedience to my word. Even the most beautiful sermon preached by a woman is still rebellion to my word, and they will be held accountable. Women who take authority are at risk of my judgment, no matter how spiritual they appear. Many curses are the result of this rebellion. In the world, women desire so greatly to be seen. I desire them to be hidden in Christ and in the bosom of their husband. Oh, if only they knew how beautiful it is. I do not command these things so that women are in bondage. No, rather because there must be order. Look at the destruction that has come from women taking charge in the family, at work, and in the church. When my order is flipped, chaos ensues. There is no room for compromise in this area. This is my command. You cannot bend, stretch, or twist my commandments. They're written in stone. Do not be deceived. Being used of me is not the same as being in my will. Being used of me is not a good judgment of your standing with me. I can use anyone whom
Katie.
I will to use.
Katie.
I have often used even...
Katie, can I slow you
yeah.
down just a little bit? You're going about 100 miles an hour there, girl.
Okay.
Please.
Okay, I'll go slower. Sorry.
This old Southern boy having trouble keeping up with you.
Should I back up any or should I just continue from
I'll
here?
Just continue on, but slow down.
Okay.
About half speed.
Okay. I can use anyone whom I will to use. I have often used even vessels of dishonor who do not know me. Do you believe I am God of and over all? Your obedience to my word is what will be accounted for and how you are to judge your standing with me. You can do many mighty works whilst in rebellion. Are you prepared to remain obedient in the midst of disobedience? Many will hate you and come against you for these things. Are you prepared to follow the lonely road of obedience? You will be hated, ridiculed, mocked, and isolated. Yes, even by people who claim to know me. But know that this is expected, for I face these things too. If it is accepted by the multitudes, there is something wrong. I have called you to be holy, set apart. This comes at a great cost, a cost of many rejecting you. But take heart, for I will lead you to exactly where you need to be and bless you with like-minded people. I have heard your cries and your longing for fellowship, and in due time, I say, it is coming. I will place you exactly where you need to be. Take heart and be patient. Know that I am training and equipping you. And then the Lord goes on later to say to me, are you covered? Are you hidden? If you are not, you are not only sinning, but you are causing men to sin. Any man who is under a woman is in sin. Any woman who is preaching, teaching, and exercising authority and rule over men is ruling by the spirit of Jezebel. Jezebel doesn't always have to appear headstrong and overbearing. She can just be rebellious. A woman preaching is rebellion unto my word. Truth coming out of her mouth does not change this fact. This is not a small thing. This is not something to overlook. Rebellion to my word is dangerous. Do not follow after any harlots, but come out from among them. Will you choose to be set apart, or will you compromise for the sake of pleasing men and desire to fit in? I want to remind you that the narrow path can often be lonely, for it is the road less traveled. Few find it. Compromise is broad and wide. Obedience is narrow. Do not feel like there is something wrong with you if many disagree with you. Being in agreement with my word should be more important than being in agreement with man. I remind you again that man will come against you for these things. Obedience to my word brings separation and division from the wheat and tares. Count the cost and choose obedience, for it reaps wellsprings of life where disobedience leads only to death. I am gracious and merciful, but everyone who goes against my word and does not repent will be brought into judgment. There is no valid excuse to bring before me. Follow me and my ways. Do not let anyone confuse you. If it is contrary to my word, it is not of me. Choose to be hidden in your husband and submit to and honor his authority. It is not your job to teach or preach. Your job is to serve. Rejoice in this, for the greatest were called servants. Yes, even I. Rejoice and rest in this. You are perfectly equipped and built for your role as a woman. Just as is true in the physical, the spiritual garments of a man will never fit you properly. And behold, I have sewn you perfect garments that fit just right. Women preach for regard and praise. Their labor is in vain, for I say unto you, the women who are the most hidden shall be the ones who receive the most glory. Do things for the glory of your husband, just as you do things for my glory. You should seek to honor and please your husband in all areas, not other people, not yourself, but seek to honor and bring glory to your husband. Make this your focus and take your eyes off of self. Put your husband first, regard him as Lord, and do what is fitting. You may feel like you need to speak, but remember that I showed you the power of being quiet.
blessings follow when you are in obedience to my will. And I asked the Lord at the end of this too, why he showed me this and not other people, because as I was saying, I look all over and I see women preaching in almost every church. And I'm like, Lord, everyone that I've seen almost, and many people I've had this conversation with, are all coming against me for this. Why did you tell me this and not the whole world? Like, why don't you just tell this to everyone? And he said to me, willingness. You are willing to go against your will and desires to follow mine. All of this is in my word, but many choose self-will over submission. So he was showing me that it's all written out. It's all plainly right there, but so many people are missing it just because of desire to follow their own flesh and resistance to submission. And so that was all beautiful. And then the Lord went even more into this just the other day on Sunday. He would prefer it if immediately I felt like
Katie, you're breaking up now, but it's got to go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for opening up the channels here for her to complete this. Oh, there she there.
Is that better? My internet just better. Went down.
Yeah.
Okay. What did you guys last hear?
You were fixing to tell us the next part of it.
Okay. So I was talking with Tim, and Tim had told me that he would prefer if I no longer wore makeup. And immediately I felt like this reaction in my flesh. I didn't act on it, but I felt the flesh just being like, you know, even though I agreed with him when he explains, but there was that flesh reaction for sure. And because I don't wear it that often, but it's something I do enjoy and it makes me feel better about myself. So, you know, flesh. But anyways, I listened to him, but then I was thinking on it later and I was looking around and we were at a church service. So I was looking at all these women and they were all wearing makeup and their husbands didn't mind. And I'm like, you know, and then immediately before I could even go deeper with that thought, the Lord starts speaking to me and it was just so beautiful. And he said, I gave you a husband who does not compromise on my word or on convictions. It might be hard and displeasing to your flesh at times, but know this is a great gift and blessing. Cherish him and honor him. And I just immediately was like, whoa, how beautiful. And I couldn't stop smiling because that is such a gift and a blessing, even if my flesh fights it at times, because it's so worth it, obviously. And then we were in worship and Tim took my hand and prompted me to get down on my knees with him. And then the second that I hit the ground, the presence of the Lord just like was so strong and I just started weeping and I was holding my husband and he was holding me and I just felt so safe and protected and I was resting my head upon his chest and I just wanted to stay there forever. And the Lord reminded me that spiritually speaking, that's where I belong and should remain. And I felt so safe there. I can't even put it into words. It was just like this. I didn't even feel like I was on earth anymore. Like God was just all over this moment. And I felt such a reverence and honor for Tim, like love as well. But there was an emphasis on the reverence and honor. And it also came with just a deeper understanding of my husband's authority over me. And that revelation came in the most beautiful way possible of like, just that is not oppressive. It's not anything that the world says it is. It's beautiful. It's so beautiful. I can't even put it into words. Like I was just feeling it in that moment of just, wow, like there's power and there's beauty in God's ways and in his role and in submission. And I was just weeping before the Lord and thanking him for this gift and for these revelations on marriage lately. It's so beautiful. And there's just been so much of this the last year and he's really been going deeper, but I've been praising him for that answer because like I said, I'm seeing it all over of just women everywhere preaching and I was getting confused. Like I knew it was rebellion, but I didn't understand the why it seemed they were being used until the Lord elaborated on this further that that doesn't make it okay and that is still rebellion.
That it? I guess it is. Katie, can you hear me? Yeah, Lana.
Hi, everybody. I wanted to share something that the Lord
did for me through Katie's testimony today. I grew up wearing a head covering since I was of age, so to speak, since I had the understanding or whatever they consider in church. And it was just part of the religious thing that I did my entire life in church and at home during prayer. And when I came to UVM and the Lord started delivering me of all kinds of bondages, I struggled to continue to wear that head covering because I didn't understand why I should wear it. I couldn't understand how submission had anything to do with it. But I also knew that since the scripture said that I needed to wear it, that even though I didn't understand, I needed to trust the Lord and in my, and obey and wear it. And I remember Michael, when I shared this in the past, Michael had mentioned, you know, if I didn't wear it, nobody would judge me for it. You know, it's up to the Lord to show me and to teach me and to convict me. So anyways, I've continued to wear it by the grace of God. Most of the time it doesn't bother me, but anyways, when I read, Katie's testimony, it just sank in that this is about submission, but this is about covering because my husband is my covering. And so in the physical, my indication of that is my head covering. And I just never connected the two together. I remember Odin Hetrick in his heaven testimonies talking about how the masculine spirit covers the feminine spirit in the presence of God. And I thought that was so deep and so beautiful, but I never made the connection. This was years ago, between the head covering and my husband's covering over me. And I have so much joy in me. Now I understand. And I was like, well, why does he then limit it to just, you know, the small number of times that we are required to wear it? Why not wear it 24/7? But thank you, Lord, for your mercy. And I don't know if 24/7 would be my cup of tea, but hey, as the Lord leads. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody got any questions for Katie? I figured you women would be lining up here for a move. Katie, would you pray for the women?
Yeah,
there's a bunch of there's going to be a bunch of them listening also.
Absolutely. Yes, Lord, I just come to you in the mighty name of Jesus, and I just lift up every woman listening to this right now. Lord, I just pray that you would open their eyes to see that submission and that your role and your will for them is not anything that is oppressive. It is spiritual freedom. And I just pray that you would give them eyes to see their husbands the way that you see their husbands and the way that you want them to see their husbands, Father, that they would have a supernatural ability and desire to just submit to their. And obedience to your word, that you would bless and that you would show them the mighty power behind the roles that you have created for men and women, Father. And I pray that you would just break any yokes of bondage off of these women that have been planted from the world and from feminism and all of that garbage that is being preached out there today, Lord. It goes so against your word. It's completely contrary. So just show them that that is not freedom. That is bondage. And that is the cause for so many curses and so many marital issues, is that exact thing, that feminist spirit, Father. So I pray that you would just deliver these women of that spirit of feminism and that spirit of Jezebel right now in the name of Jesus. We set them free totally from that bondage and that captivity and that power of the enemy right now. We just break in Jesus' name. And I just thank you, Father God, that you are working in these marriages and in these women's hearts, Father, to follow you, to seek after you, to go deeper, to just go against the flesh in every way and have more of you, God, and that they would see the beauty and the freedom that is found only in your word and only through you and through submission to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I praise you, Father, that people will be changed because of this testimony. Thank you, Lord, and the prayer. All right, anybody else want to add to it? Pray. Yeah, Pat.
No, I was just, I was going to ask Katie a question, but one of the things that she mentioned that I know I keyed on, and that was the place of protection and safety. And just what Katie said, that it's a freedom. It's a setting free into freedom because of that. Because that protection, at least this is the way it came to me. And obviously submission to authority is not anything foreign to any of us. We all have to learn it in our own way. And wives have, I would say wives in our present current environment in the world today probably have it the hardest, I would say they, in my opinion, they probably have it the hardest to be able to try to grasp that truth. But I think I was just taken by the fact of the place of protection, and in that submission, creating or entering into that perfect, complete, protective environment that the Lord provides for all of us while we, as we learn to submit under His truth and under His word in whatever environment that we're in, whether we are men learning to submit and understand our submission to the authorities in our lives, or wives in the family relationship, husband wife relationship, etc. So, and in the things that we learn and wives learn, those things have to be taught to our children, because they have to, they're going to be under incredible pressure to rebel and do their own thing and go their own way. And obviously the Lord has lessons in that abuse of, you know, or in that deviation from His word as well. The Lord is so gracious that He teaches us, even in if we're in need of rebuke or correction, teaches us just the same lessons in many, many things. So anyway, I just appreciate that, the work that the Lord's doing in Katie. And if you could just answer, you know, to talk about that a second, as far as how you made the connection to safety or security or protection or whatever in the Lord, if you want.
Yeah, so it's kind of hard to even explain it, because it was just like a feeling that came over me in that moment. But I was just like holding my husband, and he was holding me, and in that moment, when the Lord's presence came over me, He was just showing me about how I felt physically safe in that moment, and how that like physical safety does parallel to like spiritual safety, because our husbands have authority over us. And I guess, unfortunately for them, in a way, they're more responsible for listening to the Lord, because they're in charge of leading us correctly, you know, so they do have a greater responsibility, especially in the teaching aspect too. And God was just like showing me all of that in that moment of just to reverence my husband because of all those things, and how, I don't even know how to really put it in a word, because it was just like such a feeling in that moment of just feeling totally covered and protected by him. Because like I was feeling that physically, but the Lord showed me that's how it is spiritually. If we're in that order and if we're submitting to our husbands and allowing ourselves to be covered, because a lot of women are being uncovered, like how the Lord showed me earlier, if I were to go up and preach on that stage, he told me you would be stepping outside of your covering. Because it just happened in that moment where he was just revealing that to me. So it's kind of hard to put it in words, but I hope that kind of made sense. But yeah.
So I'm remembering in your previous testimonies that it was the opposite, meaning you had to learn to enter into that protection of the Lord's word in submission under a husband that wasn't obedient to God. And look at the blessing that came as a result of that, because you were in, under that submission, you were under God's submission. You were under his protection that he provided for you. And not letting men off the hook, shall we say, but it is not as much the person in authority as it is the our response to God to submit, to learn submission and enter into his protective. It's not the person, you know, that is the protector. It's God that is our protector in every circumstance. So, I mean, it's a blessing. I really appreciate your testimony.
Thank you. Yeah, that is something I actually forgot to bring up, since, you know, all of you here have heard it before. But yeah, it was totally the opposite before. Like, I didn't feel safe with my husband while he was struggling with the drug use and everything. I didn't feel like I could rely on him or any of those things. And even submitting to him was extremely hard, because I was asking the Lord, like, how do you submit to someone like this? Like, what he's doing is crazy, you know? That's how I felt. Like, I couldn't do it. But the Lord said, there's no excuse, essentially, and that you're still to obey my word, even if your husband isn't. And God totally blessed me after that long trial of learning how to submit, even when it's extremely hard. But there's a blessing in obedience, because that's part of why I was weeping as well in my husband's arms, because it just, the change in him is so miraculous. And now, like, feeling that covering, feeling that safety is just so beautiful. And that's just the Lord's mercy, grace, and blessing, you know, and his love. And that blows me away every day I think about it. It's just beautiful what he's done in my husband and in our marriage. But I really believe both of us, Tim and I both believe, that if I had left him, if I had given up on him, like everyone was telling me, that this wouldn't be the case right now. He said he would have just gone deeper into the drug use, because he would have just viewed it as he lost everything. And so why bother? But when I started actually submitting to him and loving him, like God told me a million times, then things started to change. And it wasn't immediate, but the love started to come back for both of us immediately. I will say that. And then slowly but surely, God was purging both of us of things and working through it. And it's beautiful what has happened now. I mean, he was in so much rebellion. And then the Lord spoke to me the other day, I've given you a husband that doesn't compromise on my word or on convictions. And that just blew me away, because I'm like, whoa, you know, what? Like, from total rebellion and struggling with so many things to God saying he's not compromising on anything is beautiful. And I told him, I heard that, and he was like, did God really say that? Because I was in prayer this morning for an hour and I was just praying about, Lord, I don't want to compromise on any area of your word. I don't want to compromise on anything. And so he was just blown away by that, and he was just all really cute about it, like a little kid, like, wow, did God really say that? So that was amazing. And it's just such a blessing of what God is doing with both of us and in our marriage. And God's also showing little glimpses of how he's going to use us together. Cause Tim still is in, the place he's at for another 6 months, but we still see each other. And so there's moments of where we get to see glimpses of how the Lord's doing things. And I got a vision for a brother at this place. And then Tim actually like elaborated on the vision and interpreted it to this brother, and it was just beautiful. And I was like, whoa, this is everything I've prayed for like for so long, and God's just doing it. So there's definitely a huge blessing in following his word and in submitting to your husband and submitting to God, even when it's excruciatingly hard. Because that's what I say, like, I've talked to women, because God's led some to me that have had marital issues, and they didn't even know about my testimony. It was just all the Lord. So praise God for that. But they were telling me, like, I can't submit to my husband because X, Y, Z. I'm like, no, like, there's no excuse. Like, you don't understand. Like, my husband wasn't just, you know, being annoying. Like, he was using drugs and like manifesting demons left and right for hours all night long. Like, sometimes for days in a row of not sleeping, of just, you know, it was crazy. It was really crazy. But God said, there's no excuse. You have to still be obedient to my word. And well, I'm so glad I finally learned it, because there's such a blessing now, and it just is so beautiful. And it's still only the beginning, so I'm sure there'll be many more testimonies that we'll both be able to share with you guys.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else got a question or comment? How many of you want that relationship? Amen. Well, there's a lot of you don't. I don't know what's going on here. Golly. I'm kidding. I know we all want that relationship. And that's the... That's a beautiful testimony, Katie. Tell Tim we said that too, because I know people are going to be affected by it and bring them closer to the Lord because of it. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Mariana. Or hello? Isaac.
Oh, can anybody hear me?
Yes, sir.
Well, it's been a bit, hadn't it? Well, hello, everybody. I see some hands out there.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, man. Hey, everybody. So this whole Jezebel topic has kind of got me, what's up there, Theo? It's got me that, you know, it's pertinent to me because I'm dealing with it, right? And I tell Mariana, you settle down now. No, I'm just joking. It has nothing to do with that. That was rude. But what it is at work. Remember how I told you guys so many months ago, I've been dealing with this Jezebel, right? Well, yeah, it's gotten a lot worse. But so she's like, basically, so I'm in charge of the equipment, right? I don't mean it's any type of way. I really don't even like to talk about it, but I'm the engineer of the lines. My technicians, we know how to prioritize. We know what needs to be fixed. And see, a lot of times operational managers, to be frank, they don't ever come out on the line. They don't ever see what's happening. They just stay in their offices. But they'll look at data on their computer and say, oh, well, we had a lot of faults for this week. We need to be working on that. But what they don't understand, that that's just a very inaccurate portrayal. That would actually run your business into the ground if you thought that way, because there's plenty of things that don't put out data that are on the fritz. And that's the things that we have to look at deeper. So here's my point. So it's been this proverbial struggle to where since she's came on the line as like head of operations. Now that's operations. She has no authority over us. We're two different entities. But she, basically what I'm trying to say is this lady, she feels this need to control, right? She feels this need to make sure that to somehow plan out my task. I mean, our departments don't correlate at all. There's no crossover. But it's just the most unbelievable thing. And I know it's a test and it's a trial for me. Well, she's got her boss who is also a Jezebel, who's in charge of all of operations. And she's like a head manager there for operations. And then they have been coming after me, and it's just been the most unbelievable thing. And it's so they're not judicious whatsoever, right? But when we have these meetings Thursday, and I feel like I have to go in there and talk about the issues that we're dealing with. And the thing that doesn't make sense is that we're talking about the past week of problems and what we're going to do to fix them. Well, they're already fixed. We should be focused on this week at hand. But it's the way it's always has been, and I hate to say it, if it's not their idea, it's a bad idea. So I've been dealing with this for a while, and I'm gonna be honest with you guys, I've blown up on them a few times because one, I don't do what they tell me to do because I don't work for them, and they couldn't possibly know. It's just not possible. And so if you were in maintenance and you did what we did and you're out on the floor and you talked to the operators, you would know, but they don't. So how could they tell me? It doesn't make any sense. But the thing is, I'm getting persecuted pretty heavily. And sometimes I fail. Sometimes I get mad and I rile up. Like I can be pretty tough to handle at times. I know I don't paint that picture here and you wouldn't know it because I'm always pretty peppy and whatnot. But there's times at work I am not peppy. I get mad and I say, how dare you? Just like that. Very scary. But, free though, like I get upset. It's been like kind of beating me up a little bit. And, I don't know if I told you guys this, but I have a boss that's a Christian and, it's been a long time coming, but I also myself had to learn. I've had a lot of bosses in my past. But, I've kind of went 3 years job here, 3 years job here, 3 years job here, right? Just kind of moving up the ladder as far as any more getting promoted outside of companies is kind of how it is nowadays. A lot of times long tenure is kind of a thing of the past. Sounds like a terrible thing to say. I get it, but moving on. So I haven't learned my lesson. Been pretty much beat down by bosses before in the past, and I've had to learn to how to really submit to authority, right or wrong, right? And my last boss, well, he put the wood to me, sending me all over the nation. And I had that dream where I finally passed the test. That's where I ran a mile, 1 mile in 4 minutes and 40 seconds. There's the whole 144 thing there. And I come to find out that my coach, who after I ran the race, so I wasn't racing against anybody. I was racing against myself. There was nobody in my mind. I didn't even know. I didn't see anybody. I was just racing against myself. And then when I finished the race, I was in first place, but I did not know that. I was like, oh wow, I just ran really hard and it ended up being first place. Well, my coach in the dream was my boss and I had to learn that. So here's something else. I'm saying all that to say this. I am very blessed that my boss, he's a strong Christian. He doesn't like the whole Jezebel thing. And he has been taking up for me left and right, going to bat with these people. And it's so awesome to watch a guy that just has been given to you by the good Lord to just take it, you know? I mean, he's on the front lines with me and he's, he's the supervisors of all engineers. And, yeah, I'm really thankful. I've let him down a few times. I remember one time we went to a meeting. He said, all right, just let me handle it. If they say anything that's going to get you fired up, that's what they're going after. They want to get you in trouble. Just let me handle it. Well, I did the opposite. I did everything told me not to. It turned out to be very good. But we talked about it. He was cool with it afterwards, and I apologize and try not to do that now. But you know, last week we did pretty good and there's progress. But so I guess as far as the long story, but y'all pray for me because this issue, it's almost in some sense kind of exciting, as that seems weird. Like, I ain't too worried about it. Like, who are these people? I don't care. I mean, I do care because I tend to care more about what people think than I should. And I tend to get upset, and that's how I show that I care. I just want to do a good job. But it's hard to do a good job when you're explaining deep mechanical and electrical things to people who have never touched it. But they'll always know more than you ever will. That's just how it is. You cannot convince them. It's impossible. And it just frustrates me because I really care about truth. But you know, truth is a moving target to the world. So y'all pray for me because I just want to take this on the chin. I know this though. I know that the Lord's going to win this. I ain't even worried about it. I care less what happens on. I don't care if they stick around and end up doing really good. That'd be great. I don't care. I just want to see the Lord prevail. And, you know, I want to see me be quiet, take it, and I want to watch the Lord lift up. I want to be a meek person because I want to see what it looks like when a meek person is lifted up. Because like I said before, I said this to a coworker. I said, who the Lord lifted up, ain't no man can bring down, right? So y'all pray for me. And two, a second thing, also pray for me because I've been having issues. Kind of, I hate to be very direct here. Kind of been peeing blood a little bit here lately. And so I don't like that, but I don't know. It's just like a thing. You know, y'all have prayer for me. I'm not too worried about it. But y'all wouldn't mind. I'd appreciate it.
Okay. I didn't understand the last part of that. What you wanted was, was there a physical problem?
Can you hear me? I said that last part was, I didn't want to say it real loud if people were around, but I was going to say, kind of been peeing blood a little bit here lately.
Okay.
And so, yeah, just pray for me about that.
All right. Well, in the name of Jesus right now, we command that that spirit of infirmity, if that's what it is, to go from him in Jesus' name. Abnormality in his body, leave right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that Isaac is completely healed. He'll not see any more evidence of anything that the enemy is trying to put on him in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, that he is completely healed. And Lord, we also thank you for putting in his mind and heart to submit to authority without getting angry, and to submit and just go with them and just go ahead and do what you got to do. You don't have to follow what they want you to do to fix it, but do what needs to be done to fix it without any kind of retort back to them. And I thank you for it, Father. Just thank you, Lord, for making Isaac a light in that factory in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that's exactly what you're doing. You're killing the flesh. He's dying to the flesh. And we praise you for that, Father, that you are making a light of Isaac in that place in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for having him praise you and glorify you all day long and speaking in the Spirit, Lord, and praying in the Spirit as he goes about his work. And we praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. He is a different man from this point on in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Anybody else want to pray? Lord, we consider it done. Go ahead, Pat.
Father, we thank you for Isaac and the strength that you've given him, Lord. Thank you for the work that you're doing in his heart. And Lord, I ask that you would give Isaac wisdom related to these things that you're leading him through and teaching him. Thank you, Lord, for bringing him into the rest of being under submission to your word and your protection there. Thank you that you are his defender, that you are there to protect him, and that you can protect him even when he doesn't have to defend himself, that you have the ability, Lord, to change hearts, even in his strength of not defending himself, not needing to rear up and make a point or whatever it would be. Lord, your protection, your ability to shine forth and to make a point, even in his submission to you and listening and just patiently listening to someone, even though they may be abusive or they might want to see him defeated. Lord, we thank you that your strength is there. We bind this spirit in those in his authority that are trying to take him out. We thank you, Lord, that you use the wrath of man to perfect us and to bring us into your nature. And excuse me. And we just thank you, Lord, that you are doing this within Isaac right now, and you restrain that which is too much so that it doesn't take him out. For you are our strength. You are Isaac's strength in this situation. So I thank you for it, Lord. Just bless him, open up his eyes, open up his heart, open up his mercy for those that may be attacking him. And that you are his strength and grace. Give him grace, Lord, to rest in that strength and that protection that you provide only through your word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I believe it, Lord. Yeah, Bonita, go ahead.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, Bonita.
I just wanted to share, this kind of relates to Isaac kind of in a way, and in my own testimony way, but the last week or 2 weeks, I've just come really under attack personally, and just things that some of the people very close to me just said things that were very hurtful and painful, and they're just like, it wasn't something that they would normally say. It's was just very uncharacteristic of them to say that. And as I was processing, you know, what was going on, I mean, like, you know, I cried all day, and then I just kept thinking, but I can't have unforgiveness. I cannot have unforgiveness. And so it's like, okay, how do I get through this? So I, of course, went back to listen to David's message about unforgiveness. And, it was just so helpful to just see that person not as that person attacking me, but it was like, you know, the Lord's testing me to see if I will be forgiving, if I can, if I will forgive, if I understand what that means, and that, you know, not to even go to sleep that night with that unforgiveness in me. And I just, it's like you're just all day long, just, you know, it's eating you up and you're just so upset and you're like, okay, I gotta forgive. I gotta forgive. And, but, just to be able to see that person, you know, just, it's like I said, that it wasn't characteristic of them to do that. It was completely something outside that was attacking me through them. And I could see that it happened to two different people that did that to me. And it's like the first thing that now comes to mind is, okay, I can't have unforgiveness. And so that, I don't know, that really helped me, and just to keep that and listen to that message again, because it's not that person that's attacking you. You don't really, they don't know. They don't know any better, really, right? They're not saved. They don't understand. And they're being led by other spirits. And so just to keep that in mind, that really helped me when I listened to David's message again, and just remember, you know, just was remembering all those things that he mentioned in there. So praise the Lord for forgiveness. Amen.
Amen. Yes, we got to do that. If we don't do anything else, we got to do that. Thank you, Father. Amen, Busy. All right, anyone else? Let me ask a question about Katie's testimony. Which part of it affected you most, or did all of it? Well, I know it all did, but there's bound to be something that caught your eye a little bit more than the other part. Yeah, Andrew.
Well, when she, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. When she mentioned the covering, I thought of that word, propitiation.
Yeah.
Because the Lord is our covering. And we have to gain the Lord more and more. We want that seed of covering, that word, you know. It may be just one word, but that's what we want. You know, we want to bear fruit from that. We take the seed in our inner man to do that, because it's an important thing to have within us too, so that we could grow their mind. And that was it. You know, I don't know how much I could stress that, to be covered by the Lord in these things, to see the spirit end of it, to accept that word, so that we can bear that spirit within us. You know, a man will produce another man, a cat will produce another cat, a dog will produce another dog, but that seed of God's word produces something in us. And it's the spirit man that grows by it. And that's very much so what's needed. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Ben. Go ahead, Julie.
Thank you. God bless you, Katie. Thanks for sharing that. One of the things that came to my mind was a scripture when you were talking about how you would feel if you were to get up on stage, and you said you would feel naked. And the scripture that came to my mind was in Revelation chapter 3 about the church of Laodicea, where Jesus talked to them, and you know, the angel of the Lord, and said, but I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So because thou art lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and have gotten riches and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art the wretched one and the miserable and poor and blind and naked. And naked, you know, because all the things that they're doing, it's like, I'm this, I'm that, I've got this, I can do this. And they don't even see where they are. And they are naked, and I, you know, naked here just means you're in sin, you know, and they don't know it. And that's where a lot of the church is. So That's what I was thinking. That's kind of what came to my mind when you said that you felt naked. I would feel naked, exposed.
Amen. All right, Anna, go ahead.
The part that really stuck out to me that was so profound was when the Lord told you, Katie, about, oh, how did you say it? How did he say it? About that the fruit of what you're doing or whatever, something like that, is not the measurement of how, is not how he, I can't remember now. I had it before I was unmuted, of course. But anyways, that is not the measurement of your standing with God, that your obedience is. And it's like, wow, thank you, Lord. Thank you for that, Lord. I wish we could actually talk about this kind of subject more often. I know we don't talk about women a lot, but I always enjoy it when we do. And it's like, I just got so much to learn. So thank you, Lord. And thank you for sharing that, Katie. So such a blessing.
Amen. Yes, it was. It was. All right. Yeah, Angelica, go ahead. You got to unmute. There you go.
I know. I was trying to figure out how to get back to it. Sorry. Yeah, it's an awesome testimony. It's interesting that, because because I asked Michael today, I mean, this week about, you know, authority, about, you know, covering, because I'm, you know, I am a single woman and the Lord is actually dealing with me, you know, with some things in my life. And, you know, he just kind of revealed some, you know, some things about me. And of course, I never have been married. I do have a son. I had him before I came to the Lord, but, I was experiencing, a lot of witchcraft attacks and I just could not figure out why. And a lot of it was getting me to question, like, you know, where I am and who the Lord's put me under and all this stuff. And, the enemy was working really hard to get me to question the authority, you know, the elder, you know, the leadership, you know, here in our ministry. And it was just like, it was just eating at me. And it was just like, I don't know. And so a brother had a dream. And, anyway, so I just kind of was just open. I just really thinking about it. And I was like, a lot of my suffering came from not, like just going around and around trying to figure it out myself rather than having to go directly to God and have that accountability to his authority over my life. And I didn't really know I was doing it or why I was doing it. And I do think it's partly, you know, like you said, it's not the Jezebel spirit that's like, you know, outward trying to be a Jezebel. It was more like something inward of rebellion and just not understanding the relationship of authority with the Father. And so, you know, I guess in that sense, we can kind of have some mercy on the Jezebels out there, because they're broken women who don't, you know, probably didn't have a father, probably didn't have, you know, good examples of what it means to submit unto an authority and the blessing that comes with that. And so I was just kind of like blown away when this was the topic, because I asked Michael, I was like, you know, about the covering, you know. And so once I decided, I said, okay, Lord, like, this is where you sent me. They're the authority over me, and I submit to that authority. Like a lot of the stuff that was happening to my mind just stopped, and it was just like, whoa, that was crazy. And of course, I was watching a couple of videos about like spiritual warfare and how important it is for us to be in line with God's authority, for us to you know, if we're out of line with his, you know, order, that we're open targets for the enemy and the spirit. And I was just kind of really blown away by that. So yeah, I'm still learning. And of course, you know, I pray the Lord, I believe that the Lord does want me to get married at some point. At this point, I don't know when, but anyway, it was a blessing to hear you, share that testimony. And, I just pray that for all of us, that we would all learn submission no matter what the authority is.
Amen. Thank you, Angelica. Yeah, Anna.
Can I share something the Lord showed me?
Sure.
It goes along with what Katie shared about the Lord emphasizing Tim's authority over her, you know, by position, not, you know, not really, you know, outside of love even, you know, he's got this position over her. I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time remembering how you worded it, how the Lord worded it. But the Lord showed me the same thing with my husband. Well, almost the same thing, a little different maybe. That, you know, it's my position. And the Lord showed me, well, how would you, the way I treat my husband, how would you treat Michael like that? Or would you treat David like that? Would you say that to David? Or just, you know, the Lord just put several men in my mind that who I really respect and stuff. And, like, would you say, well, I think you're wasting your time, David, or,